Love you, brother. God bless you. Let's sing "What a Friend We Have in Jesus." What a friend we have in Jesus. Oh, I love you, brother. I am walking out. I'm just going back and coming back.
What a privilege to carry
everything to God.
Again to you. It's good to be with you this morning. We do ask an interest in your prayers as we stand before you. We trust that the Lord of glory will have his way with us this morning, and that all that we might say would bring praise, honor, and glory to his name. It's good to see Brother Gary back.
Good to be there.
And we know that in every trial and circumstance of life, that our Lord is able to deliver us. Yesterday we met online, and I spoke about a psalm that I heard that talked about how beautiful the good news of the gospel is for God's little children when they're blessed to understand it. As we've gathered this morning, I pray that we are blessed to be again reminded as to how beautiful it is, how precious it is, and what a benefit it is to us as God's children as we journey in this time we're on. I have a psalm on my mind this morning, but before I go there, I was thinking Brother Gary had mentioned in a part of Romans 12, presenting our bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is our reasonable. That's reasonable, our reasonable service. I think the next verse says, be not conformed to this world, but be renewed by the transforming of our minds. You know, as we gather in God's house, it is for the transforming of our minds, that we might be reminded yet another time of the goodness of the Lord. You gonna turn me up? Okay, turn me up. Max it out, brother. Max.
How you doing?
Whoa.
How you doing? That guy, he got it now. That's good.
Sure?
Yes.
Go ahead, John. We'll see.
Yeah, talk. Go ahead.
The other part of that next verse in Romans 12 basically says, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God.
Amen.
You know, as we've gathered this morning, I was thinking about that when Brother Gary mentioned it, but if we think about it in a general sense, in our lives, you know, we gather together on Sunday mornings, and we know that in some ways we're presenting ourselves in the form of worship to the Lord our God, and we're trusting that we've been blessed to gather in a way that God would, that would be pleasing to Him. That we've gathered in spirit and in truth. We seek to hear the truth. We seek to be benefited by the truth. We seek to worship a God that we can't see, but a God who blesses us with His manifest presence. That is what we seek when we gather in the Lord's house. But I know for me, and I'm sure probably for most of us, that when we think of those two verses in Romans 12, that presenting of ourselves to a holy and righteous God, we know that in and of ourselves, there is no way at all that we can present ourselves in a way that would be acceptable absent that finished work on Calvary's cross by the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, our presenting is through that blood. And that reasonable service that we're blessed to get is overshadowed by the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ, which He has imputed unto us, which makes it us acceptable in the eyes of a holy and righteous God. So in that act of service, in that act of presenting, we must realize that we got nothing. We got nothing to bring. We have nothing at all to bring in and of ourselves, except that what Jesus has bestowed upon us. So we gather before the Father, we gather before the throne, under that umbrella of what Christ has done for us, in redeeming us unto God, that we might be found acceptable in the eyes of Almighty God, that He will look down upon us as being justified, and that He would look upon us as being righteousness, because we have been imputed with the righteousness of His dear Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And I guess the part where I suffer at is that I see this verse, brethren, as a picture of who we as God's children ought to always be. In other words, it's not a just a coming
correct.
To worship on a Sunday morning.
Correct.
That which the Son has done for us enables us to present ourselves in our conversation in this life as we journey in this life. It enables and equips us, brethren, to be able to be representatives. I think the apostle wrote in one letter, to be ambassadors for the Lord Jesus Christ. We are His representatives. We don't represent ourselves. Brother Gary doesn't represent himself. I don't represent myself. I represent He who has redeemed me by His blood on Calvary's cross. And we all do. The issue that I have, and I think the issue that we all have, is that we forget who we are. I forget, we forget, that we are indeed purchased by the blood of the Lamb. That I am answerable, I am accountable in every aspect of my life, not just the Sunday morning, but every aspect of my life, I am accountable to Him who has redeemed me by His blood. And when we are blessed to realize that truth, brethren, we begin to not only just see the beauty in the gospel, but we're able to experience it as well. That song that we sang on Beulah Land, you know, I think we have a Beulah Land here on this side of glory in the kingdom of God. But brethren, if we want to enjoy that Beulah Land while on this side of glory, then I think we need to labor Scripture says that we're to labor to enter into that rest. We need to labor, brethren, to be, you know, the world would have us to, and I'm always reminded as a young person in the military, that's a slogan that that the military used to use. I'm in the Air Force. Our slogan was aim high. The Army was be all you can be. And the Marines were looking for a few good men. I mean, so when you think about all of those things and that the world would require of us, then we have to be mindful of that second verse in Romans 12, of being not conformed to the world. In other words, let us not be too anxious to be as the world would have us to be, but let us be transformed with and pray that we're blessed to have a conversation that is not pleasing to this world, but pleasing to Him who has redeemed us by His blood. You know, I think that was a reasonable service. I mean, it doesn't mean me coming in here on Sunday morning singing a few songs. It means that's who I am. That is my life. As Fanny Crosby would say, this is my story, brethren. This is who we are. This is who we this is who we have been purchased to be. To be servants of the Most High God. That takes me to what was really on my thoughts this morning. It was the 130th Psalm. You know, and the psalmist, it's just 8 verses. So what I'm going to do is just read the whole 8 verses. I don't know how far I'll get, but what I can do is read it on your hearing. The 130 Psalms. Out of the depths have I cried unto thee, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let thine ears be attentive to the voice of my supplications. If thou, Lord, shouldest mark iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand? But there is forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared. I wait for the Lord, my soul doth wait, and in his word do I hope. My soul waiteth for the Lord more than they that watch for the morning. I say more than they that watch for the morning. Let Israel hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is mercy, and with him is plenteous redemption. And he shall redeem Israel from all his iniquities. Out of the depths have I cried unto thee, O Lord. When we're in despair, when our hearts seemingly overwhelmed by life circumstances in this world, when there seems to be in our circumstance, there's nowhere else that we can turn, or nowhere else that we can go. And it's those moments that it seems reasonable that out of the depths of those circumstances, I would cry unto the Lord. I think it would be more reasonable that I would have cried out to Him in every circumstance of life. No matter how joyful I may be, no matter how sorrowful it might be, that I would acknowledge Him in all my ways, that He would bless me with the wisdom and understanding, brethren, that it becomes a part of who I am, a part of my life, realizing that every single moment of my life I need the Lord, that every single moment of my life I'm crying out to Him. Or it might not be utterly with words, or that verbal words that you can hear, but in my heart and from all that within me that I'm crying out unto my Lord, acknowledging who He is and who I am and what He has done for me, acknowledging that He has He had sent his son to shed his precious blood for me. Me individually and all of those that he gave to his son in a covenant of grace even before time was. That if I would acknowledge him in all of those ways, brethren, that when the depths of despair come, because they will, man for man born of a woman is but a few days full of troubles. So that when those depths come, there is a closeness, there is a fellowship, there is a built fellowship and communion that I've had with my Savior that is comforting to always feel like as I walk in this world, as my steps as I trod in this world, at every single step that I make, to feel His presence in my midst. Likened to that, I thought it was a cute thing, but it can be very meaningful to a little child like Grace who's able to see that. Years ago in Christian bookstores, they used to have this painting called Footsteps in the Sand. I'm sure most of you have seen that. And you see one here where the little one is walking and there's two sets of steps. It's like walking beside a brother or walking beside a parent. And then you see the others where that seemingly, the other set of footsteps just seemingly disappeared. And it's just a single set of footsteps. And I think the way the writer had put it is that those are the times that I simply just carried you through. Oh, brethren, I think that in our lives there should only ever be one set of footsteps. There, that in our lives, brethren, that in our service to He who has purchased us, that He is indeed, and that we acknowledge that He is simply carrying us through this dying world. That there shouldn't be there will be, but it shouldn't be two sets of footsteps. We know Scripture says that we're prone to wander. Yeah, we wander. We're just prone to do that by nature, the sinful nature of ours. We're just prone to be that way. So with that single set of footsteps comes some laboring on our part. Some laboring on our part to enter into that rest. It's not going to be like like the tooth fairy, you know, I go to bed and I put that tooth under my pillow and all of a sudden miraculously deliverance is going to appear. The Word of God says that we're to work out. And not just simply just work out, but work out with fear and with trembling. Acknowledging and understanding that it is He who has worked within us to will and to do in accordance with His good pleasure. It's not like we had some bright idea. Oh, brethren, all good things come from the Father of lights. Every good and pleasant and perfect thought that we might have, brethren, coming from on high. We're not that good. I love you, brother, but you ain't that good. You love me and I ain't that good. I know that. I know I'm not. And we all, brethren, have been blessed with that level of understanding that we like others, were of a mind of disobedience, walking in darkness, seeking to fulfill the lust of this flesh, seeking, brethren, to do those things that would be pleasing to our ears, doing those things which seemeth right in our own minds. And that, my dear friends, is the way of the world. They doeth those things that seems right in their own minds, not accordance to the Word of the living God. There's a difference. There is that wisdom that's from below that James talks about. And then there's that wisdom from above, which James also talks about. And he says simply that he who lacketh that wisdom from above, let him simply ask of God. And God will provide it liberally. And upbraideth not. He's not going to beat you across the head because you ask for wisdom, because you ask for understanding. His word endure forever. His supply of grace, his supply of wisdom that he gives to us is never ending. It is sufficient, brethren, for all of our needs as we journey in this world. The psalmist cries out, Lord, hear my voice. Let thine ears be attentive to the voice of my supplications. Brother Gary quoted a verse of scripture that the prayer
fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much.
Amen. Well, brethren, we realize that the Word of God tells us that fervent prayer from those which have been imputed to the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ availeth much. So we understand that. We understand that when we pray to our Heavenly Father, that He hears our prayer. Don't ever doubt that. Don't ever doubt that we're just praying to. We're not just praying to the air. We're praying to the living God, the creator of this world and all that there it is. We must never forget that truth, brethren, because our nature would tell us that because God didn't answer it the way that we wanted it answered, that he's not listening. That's a lie that comes from the adversary, who has always been a liar and always will be. The truth of the matter is that God hears your prayer. He acknowledges your prayer. But understand also, that doesn't mean he's going to give you what you want. But it does mean he's going to provide you what you need. Now, we may be so overwhelmed with our wants that we're oblivious of that which we really need. So what we hold on to, brethren, we hold on to the truth of the Word of God, which tells us that He hears our prayers. And it also tells us that He provides to us all that we need as we journey in this dying world. And don't ever be fooled into thinking that somehow God doesn't care, or for some reason that God is not going to provide you what you need in this world. Well, brethren, remember that our Father is the potter. We're the clay. And simply cry out, brethren, that the Lord our God will simply have His way with us. His way is the best way, brethren. I don't care what we might imagine in our minds, brethren. God is able to provide to us exceedingly more than we can even think or ask. That is who He is, brethren. He is the creator of this world and all that therein is. And we think for some reason, well, this flesh thinks from time to time, that because of the greatness of God, that He can't attend to my little need, no matter how small it might be. Satan would whisper, oh, that's too small for you to take to God. God's busy. Look at how great He is. He's busy. He doesn't have time for that little thing that you're concerned about. Jesus says the devil's always been a liar.
Absolutely.
God does care. He has loved you with an everlasting love. He loves you so much and He cares so much for you that He sent His Son to redeem you. That God in His perfect love, brethren, poured out His wrath on His only begotten Son for you and for me and for all of those that God gave to Him in a covenant. And yet the devil would say to you, God doesn't. Well, brethren, don't be conformed by the foolishness and the lies that the devil tells you. But be transformed by the Word of God. The truth of the Word of God. When Jesus declared, I am the truth. I am the way. And I am life. He is the giver of life. He sustains your life. He sustains you. He sustains me. He sustains all of those that the Father gave him. Which is why in the last day he's going to raise you up. To the glory of Almighty God. You're not going to be lost. You're not going to be left behind. You're going to be raised up. In perfectness. Not as you are now. But we who are yet alive, just as a twinkling of an eye, as a twinkling of your eye, you're going to be transformed. And this old natural body is going to become a glorified body. And those that are asleep, oh yes, we should not hinder them. Because they shall rise first. And that rising will be through the glory of Almighty God. And we will no longer have to be concerned about being transformed. Because we will be brought into that perfection. We will be able to worship Him and serve Him as we ought. And oh, what a glorious day that's going to be. You know, when you get home, read the rest of the psalm. I mean, it's a beautiful psalm. It really is. You know, I wait for the Lord, my soul doth wait. And in His word do I hope. Hope in His word, brethren. Not the foolishness that the devil whispers in your ear, but hope in the truth of the word of God, brethren. You know, he says that his soul waiteth for the Lord more than they that wait for the morning. Oh, brethren, that new creature, that earnest spirit that has been given unto us as God's children, brethren. Oh, it longeth indeed to be in the presence of the Lord. It longeth, brethren, to have that closeness and fellowship. It takes no joy in this world. It takes no pleasure, brethren, in our transgressions. Because it does not transgress. It does not desire. It does not. It is in perfect harmony with the Spirit of Almighty God. Because it's His Spirit that is in place within your breast. When He quickened you, made you alive, brought you out of nature's darkness into this marvelous light. And He did that to His glory. And He did it to His praise. Blessed be His name.
Thank the Lord. Good news. Love you, brother. Good preacher. Thank God for you. Thank the Lord for what we've heard this morning. Someone have a number? What number you got back here?
What number was that?
370. 370?